right, welcome to Interview Radio here on 95.7 WLXL. My name's Lexington. I'm here with Kyle Bigelow and Ben Wolf. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Hey, Lexington.
Awesome. All right, well, I believe today we have on Miss Allie Williams from Dance Blue, which is a fundraiser at LSU.
Yeah, that's right. She's the Dance Blue PR chair. She'll be coming on with us in about 5 minutes here. We're going to try some radio chicanery here for the first time. We'll see if we can bring her on while we're still on the air. Lex, I'm familiar with Dance Blue in that I know that it's a thing, but other than that, what
probably involves dancing.
You said that you guys were doing a story at the Kentucky Colonel about Dance Blue. What do you know, just sort of wave top, about this event?
Well, Dance Blue is a really unique UK organization. There's dance marathons all across America, but one thing that makes Dance Blue unique is that it's one of the few that's outside of a specific parent organization. So everything is student run, and I'm sure Allie will be able to explain more. But it's 24 hours of standing, dancing, and having a good time. In order to raise money for the Dance Blue Clinic and the Golden Matrix Fund.
All right, well, while we're waiting for Allie to come on, let's broaden this out a little bit, because now you got me thinking about organized school dances, right? And here I'm thinking more of like Lex, have you ever been to a cotillion? Is that a thing where you're from?
Yes, I was in cotillion when I was little, but it's not the same as like a debutante. I was not special enough to go to a debutante ball and be in a debutante. But
what's the difference?
For me, it was like cotillion was, we learned manners and we learned dancing. And then in most places, I believe if you go through the whole cotillion process, then when you turn a specific age, you get to be a debutante. And you get to, that's your coming out into society and your...
Oh, cotillion leads into debutancy.
In my understanding, in some places, that's okay. How it works. And as a debutante, you wear a white dress and you are escorted and you have to get the right escort and all your friends come. It's a big deal.
So it's nothing like gentleman's school / ballroom dancing, which is what I think a lot of what my friends and I did or were forced to do when we were in our, I think, middle school years, so early teens. So, yeah, it was basically a ballroom dancing class.
Right, yes.
And stuff like that.
Yes, that's what the cotillion I went to was like, which it was a fun excuse to wear dresses.
So all the rules you learn in seventh grade that you forget immediately once you become a freshman and they
honestly, I never forgot any of this stuff. They drummed it into our heads. Well, it was also
so you're
being
saying
polite.
You're doing like a foxtrot at
I can remember
a dance.
I can remember a waltz. I can remember, you know,
God, that sounds
basic
awful.
Basic. No, it's not bad. And plus you got to be near girls for like the first time ever. So that was great. And then no, and it also teaches you a little something about rejection, because the girls didn't have to dance with you if they didn't want to.
Ooh.
So a lot of us, depending on the night, just kind of had to wander around this makeshift gymnasium.
Yeah.
And then that was worse, and that was so bad. That was bad for the guys who were up wandering around, and those bad for the girls who were just sitting waiting for somebody to come up to them. So you found out very quickly kind of where your status was.
I remember.
And you just
well.
Path of least resistance. I don't want to make waves. I just want to get this over with. So I'm going to head to this section of the room where I'm sure if I asked one of these nice young women to dance, they would dance with me. And then everybody just kind of made these really weird diagonal lines from where the guy sat to where the girl sat. But then they also told you very important to be a gentleman and rules of being a gentleman,
right,
and things of that nature. And I really enjoyed that. And it kind of got drummed into my head.
Yeah.
And it was fun. Once you got over like the initial embarrassment and figuring out, you know, where you fit in and stuff like that, then it was
much
better.
Where did you go to school here, Ben?
Oh, I did the Cassidy, Morton, Henry Clay to UK track.
That pipeline.
Yeah.
I guess.
Somebody says the Chevy Chase Plaza, and it doesn't sound weird to me. because I knew what the Chevy Chase area of Lexington was before I knew who Chevy Chase was. So it's kind of, it'd be kind of weird. Imagine you go to a town and they say, yes, this is the Will Ferrell Plaza. And you go, oh, that's weird. You know, but yeah, that sort of Ashland, you know, upbringing, Henry Clay Estate area, which I imagine was in all of Ashland at one point. Mm-hmm. That whole, probably from where the Henry Clay house is.
To UK.
Yeah, all the way out to UK, and that entire, if you took like a compass and just did that entire diameter, the Henry Clay house is probably in the middle of that. So,
do they teach the electric slide at gentleman's school?
The electric slide? No, we taught ourselves.
That one's after your
time. We taught ourselves the electric slide, and if we could work it in, we did.
Macarena?
No, that is after. That is well after I was taking dance lessons. Otherwise, I'm sure it would have been less difficult than a lot of the stuff we did. We got complicated at some point. We were a good class.
Believe it or not, this is Interview Radio on WLXL, Lexington Community Radio. I've got here, because we're all about audience participation here at Interview Radio, so if you'd like to get in contact with us, oh, you know what? We've got our person calling in right now, which is good because I can't find any of the information. Starting off really well on a Tuesday. We're about to talk to the Dance Blue PR chair, Allie Williams. Hi, Allie. Allie, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm so great. How are you?
Not bad. So you're on here to talk about Dance Blue, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
And can you tell us a little bit for, I'm a layman here. I'm joined by Lexington Sowers and Ben Wolf in studio. Can you explain to us a little bit about what this event is and what it's for?
Yeah, absolutely. So Blue is a 24-hour no-sitting, no-sleeping marathon. We just finished our 11th marathon here at the university. All of our money is raised for the Dance Blue Hematology Oncology Kentucky Children's Hospital Oncology Clinic. And it all goes, everything we raise goes to the Gold Matrix Fund. So it goes to taking care of the patients, alleviating medical bills, providing gas cards, hotels, and then just like giving them a family and someone to support them throughout the year.
And hey, Allie.
Hi, Lexington.
You all do a lot with the kids throughout the year. I know you all have some volunteers that go visit. What is that experience like?
It's amazing. So we have a committee. They're called Family Relations. And then all of the 10 chairs are able to volunteer in the clinic. And we just have 1 hour a week, but I think all of us look forward to that hour more than anything during the week, and it really gets us through. Being able to just, like, play with them or listen to them, hold their hand through treatment, play dominoes, anything like that, just, like, give them that 1 hour of our time to just, like, serve them. It keeps us going, so that's super selfish to say, but they look forward to it so much, too. They call us the Blue Guys.
So
all the kids are like running. They're like, where are the blue people? And it's so sweet. It really is. And throughout the year, you know, you're stressed going into such a big event. And that 1 hour, that keeps us all grounded and just gives us so much amazing perspective. Seeing someone in such a vulnerable state and then being able to just like build relationships with them and give them absolutely anything we can. It makes it just so personal and so real and so wonderful.
Yes, that is, I think, the most common thing that I've heard from Dance Blue participants is that it really is FTK. It really is for the kids, and that is what keeps y'all going.
Exactly.
How much did you guys raise this year?
So this year we raised $1.63 million. So 16,000 more than last
year.
Wow. What are some ways that you all fundraise throughout the year?
So throughout the year, it kind of changes. Each year you kind of add different events. We had two Lexington Legends games this year that brought in a lot of money. We have different corporate sponsors, all kinds of restaurant nights, mini marathons held by high schoolers. Those are so fun. We had over 20 of those this year all over the state. So all committee drives to those, and those raise a whole lot of money for us. But just really as we grow, we have all of those benchmark things, like I mentioned, but new things. And we're really, really excited already. You know, it's 365 days a year. We're 2 days out from the last marathon, and we're already thinking and planning for Dance Blue 2017, which is so weird to say. So, like I said, we're just like planning all kinds of new events, and I think it's going to be, again, a really awesome year coming up.
Awesome. Well, how did you get involved with Dance Blue?
So I am, I was a part of a sorority, and I lived in the house my freshman year. So I was just walking around, and I am like, I have a goofy smile. Like, some people just have like a plain face, and I just smile at everything. And people were talking about Dance Blue, and I had that derpy smile on, and they were like, are you interested? And I was like, oh, absolutely not. That sounds painful. And they were like, well, why are you smiling? And I was like, because I always smile. I don't want to do this. And they were like, okay, well, you're going to do it. And I just kind of got like thrown into it. And I walked into Memorial with like new tennis shoes on, no idea what to expect. And 3 hours in, I called my mom and I was like, mom, my feet hurt. Like, I'm not really sure what I'm going to do. And then you get to hour like 22 and you get to hear those families and celebrate all of these amazing lives who have like just touched us so much. And that's when it really resonated with me and hit me like, hey, this isn't a social event. This isn't something you were thrown into. This is like your purpose. So I danced the next year, and then I joined committee. And then this last year for Dance Blue 2016, I served as the public relations chair. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever been able to do in my life. It really was.
That's awesome. What are some of the challenges that come with standing for that long?
Oh, my gosh. Things you don't even think of. Like, you think you're going to be tired. But it really hits you like it's a mental game almost, you know, you get tired. But if you're just moving, and that's something you don't realize, you just want to like stand there and kind of like relax around like hour 16, you want to coast. And you get like sucked into the different hours. I did Zumba hour my first year and it totally kicked my butt. After that hour, I was like, I can't do it. but the challenge really, like I said, is mental. When you start to like see the families come in and the kids are like, what's your name? You know, that's when you're like, oh wait, I can do this because this is easy compared to what they're going through. And it all just kind of falls into place, and it is hard, like I said, but thousands of people do it every single year. And thousands of people want to do it. We're so fortunate to not just have, you know, that involvement, but have to turn people away and say, hey, maybe next year, hey, you raised everything and qualified, but we don't have room for you on the floor. So I don't know. It becomes more and more special with time. And I did not even hurt this year at all. I really didn't, because I was running around and I just had all of that perspective from going into the clinic. So it was really, really special. It's cool how it all changes.
What are some of those really awesome stories that we hear in Hour 22? Can you share some of those?
Some of them, you know, I know lots of them. Because of HIPAA, I can't really, like, share any names. But one thing that was really cool this year that they didn't even say on stage is in my first couple days in the clinic, there were two new patients. And one of them was really scared. Which, I mean, I would be terrified. You know, you hear that you have cancer and you hear that you have to fight this battle that nobody should have to fight. So one came in and she was really nervous. And then the other one came in and she was like, I have cancer. I don't care. I'm going to fight this. Like, whatever. I'm going to rock it. And it was so cool every day that I went back every week. I saw them like develop and grow, and fight and lose their hair. But keep that amazing like attitude and perspective. And both of them, they were dancing and celebrating last weekend at Dance Blue because they've completed their treatment and they're done. So just things like that. I get to be a counselor at a place called Indian Summer Camp, which is an oncology camp put on by the Kentucky Cancer Alliance. And that is really big with Dance Blue as well. It is really cool to be able to, like, be with the kids for a full week and give them anything they could ever want and just, like, let them know they have this community of people that understand them. And there you just hear so many stories. But during that hour, you know, families stand up and kids stand up and all these perspectives are thrown out, but they are not even the tip of the iceberg of the amazing success and wonderful, just, like, life-changing perspectives that we get to, like, know and become a reality with them in the clinic.
Talking to Allie Williams. She's the Dance Blue PR chair. Allie, do you have any, what are some of these social media outlets that people can follow for more information about Dance Blue?
Yes. Okay. Music to my ears. We have Twitter, which is at UK Dance Blue. And that one, it just, that's like our main platform to put everything out. We put out pictures and fun little things and National Day celebrations, but also, information on how to become a dancer. We have Facebook, which is just Dance Blue. Go like that for all kinds of different blog posts, perspectives, pictures. And then we have Instagram, and we're trying to break 3,000 right now. So go follow us. We're only three away. From 3,000 followers, and that is at UK_DanceBlue.
So, Allie, I'm a little bit older, and my companion in here, Benin, is as well. We were talking before you came on about the Macarena and the electric slide. Are those still alive and well at Dance Blue?
Oh, for sure. The Macarena is, like, the go-to. That you can do that to any song. You know, you match the beat, you just own it. So you will see, especially our morallers, the ones that keep everyone pumped up, they will default to the Macarena hard. And then the electric slide is present at every mini marathon. Don't you worry.
Okay, now I have to know what the position of a moraller is.
Oh, okay. So I actually was a moraller before I was the public relations chair. And it's a committee of 50 of the most joyful, energetic, amazing, like,
caffeinated
people on this campus. What?
No, caffeinated? Is there what kind of refreshments do you guys have?
For sure. That is a very, very essential moraller. They all dance on the stage. They all, like, are very, very just, I mean, like, joy does not even cover it. They are so smiley, so happy, and they lead our dancers. So there are 25 morale groups led by two morallers, a boy and a girl, and they just kind of are, like, the connector between committee, who knows what it is to work in the clinic and to work for the kids and how much work has gone into it, and then the dancers who have raised that money and want to be a part of this organization and stand for the kids. So they're extremely essential, and they are so fun.
Is this just for current students? Are these morallers alum like yourself?
No. So, yeah, they are all current students. Everyone on the floor has to be enrolled at UK. But all of the alum, it's funny, we have a lot of alum that will come, you know, after each alumni event that's happening during the marathon, and they all stand up on the ramp. You'll have to look next year, overlooking, and I honestly think that they would, like, jump the ramp and fall 20 feet to be on the floor. They all want to be down on the floor so badly. So they all learn the dance just like the morallers do and the dancers do, and it's really cool to see that as well.
Okay, you've been doing this for, tell me again, how many years?
This was my fourth year.
All right, what are some of the, you know, you're seeing people in there, you know, for hours and hours on end. What are some of the funnier stories that you've seen from people, you know, just exhausted on their feet?
Oh my gosh, this year, so I was a moraller, so I was on the stage a lot last year, so I didn't see as much funny stuff, but this year, walking through the crowds a lot, there were so many funny things happening. First of all, it's like a good idea in many dancers' heads, like, oh, my feet hurt, let's, like, jump on my best friend's back and see if that works to, like, alleviate the pain, and I'm not kidding, every single person's legs buckle, and they all just topple down. So that I saw probably like 20 falls And then recovery is like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be standing, let me get up. And then they all look around like, oh my gosh, did anyone see? Am I judged? Am I disqualified? And every time we were like, please don't hurt yourself, stand up, you good? All right, good, don't do that again. And then another one, we have a rejuvenation hour. It was from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And we brought in these really awesome yoga instructors. And everyone was super into it. And doing it, and it was funny to see all the guys trying to, like, master yoga while not having any balance and having, like, all of that foot pain. but there was a one part where they were like, hanging down, doubled over, and I'm not kidding, like, four people fell asleep. So we were going over and, like, gently, like, waking them up, like, hey, you are awake, and you're alive, and you're standing. Maybe you should stand all the way up. Awesome. And they all were, like, very disoriented. It was hilarious.
Does anybody ever fall asleep on their feet, just kind of dancing around, swaying,
you know,
back and forth?
Our mini marathons chair, his name is Evan Adams. He's, like, the most amazing person in the world. Last year, he was standing, and there was really, like, mellow music playing, and I was talking to him, as I usually do. I never stop talking. But I'm, like, talking. I'm looking around. I was like, wow, this is just so awesome. Look at him. He is, like, eyes asleep, eyes shut, totally asleep on the floor. I just kind of, like, punched his arm, and I was like, you can't do that. So, yes, it definitely happened.
I think one great way that really wakes everybody up every hour is the line dance. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Okay, yes, the line dance. Every year is completely different. We have a position that is solely just coming up, like going through songs that are popular, old throwbacks, and then coming up with that 12 to 13-minute line dance and then choreographing the entire thing. This year was really cool because we had a lot of throwbacks. I thought that was so fun, bringing in a little Britney Spears and Aaron Carter, but then still keeping, you know, Justin Bieber and Rachel Platten. Every year is always different. This year, the average line dance was about 800 to 1,000 steps every time you did it. So it was pretty intense, but it's always so fun, and it just kind of, like, defined that year. This year we had, there's the same song at the beginning and the end. This one was Stand By You by Rachel Platten, which is exactly what we do. We stand by these kids and these families all throughout the year and give them everything that we possibly can, every bit of ourselves, to make this experience better. And so I just thought that it was just so, like, perfect this year. And it was so fun. It really was. People in the stands were even doing it, which made it that much sweeter.
Yes, I am afterwards because I was there for a bit. That song was playing in my head, Rachel Platten, for at least 24 hours after the marathon ended. So I can only imagine what it was like for y'all.
I still, like, I listened to it on the way back from class this morning. I was walking and, like, doing the arm motions with it. It's going to be like that all year, too, because we do it for all of the mini marathons. And everything like that. We get to teach it to all the high schoolers and the alumni and the faculty. So, yeah, just get ready, Lexington. You'll be hearing that all year.
So what's the music selection like at one of these 24-hour marathons? I imagine you're all over the board, yeah?
Yes, all over. We have just playlists that we prepare because, you know, we're ready. We know that we need to be, like, as involved as possible every single minute. But I just depends on what the chair's taste is. Our technology chair this year, his name is Ross Troop. He loves oldies, like the oldies, but the goodies. So we had all kinds of, like, great rock playing, but then it would go back to, like, Justin Bieber and, then some great, like, 2000s throwbacks, like, Sierra and Rihanna and stuff like that. So really, like, all bets are off. Wild cards are definitely going to be there. And just any music playing, people are enjoying because you can bounce to it and move to it and just kind of forget that your feet are hurting and what's going on.
Anything from the 60s and 70s? Because, yeah, we were talking about there's the electric slide, there's the hustle, there's the twist, there's the monkey, all sorts. The Batusi, if you're old enough to remember that.
I don't know that one. I don't know if that would be, but the twist, we have really amazing nurses in our Dance Blue clinic, And I mean, they are like the most amazing people on this earth. They are so fun. All of them are like fluent in different languages to accommodate the patient. And they're just so like passionate. And two of them danced this year with us. They stood the entire time, which is amazing. But one of them, her name is Barb, and she is so neat. She's just like the neatest person I've ever met. Anyway, she made a video with all of the kids that came in for treatment this year. And when they would finish getting their port accessed or their chemotherapy, they would do the twist. So we had a cool video that played that used that song. But yeah, all kinds of music selection. I'm sure we had some 60s. I'm really bad at any kind of like identification of like time.
Gotcha.
Time frames of songs. I just kind of go with it. But yeah, we definitely had some good oldies in there.
Well, and one thing to point out is that every hour has a different theme. So there was a rave hour, which was my favorite. I was down there breaking it.
Did you like that one?
Well, I was not as tired as y'all, so I was really enjoying it.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, there's nothing worse than a Johnny come lately to an all night dance party.
Oh yeah. There was Dr. Seuss hour. What were some of the other ones?
Oh gosh, we had, like I said, rejuvenation. We had a Just Dance. Fun to watch because everyone turns their brains off, looks at the screen, and follows that like animated character who's doing very hard dance moves. Let's see, we had a world record hour. That one was really cool. We broke a world record for everyone, the most people to symbolically end cancer. So we handed them pieces of paper that said cancer is in a blank in a period. So people, you know, said cancer is, you know, it needs to be ended, or cancer is not a defining factor, or cancer is the reason I'm standing. And then we broke another world record by how many people flew paper airplanes. So then they would fold that paper into a paper airplane. And then we broke world record with how many people would crumble that up and then hit another person in the face with a crumpled piece of paper. And then we did a, there were like a million. There are a million things that we did. It was really, really cool. And then my favorite hour this year, it was at 6 a.m. So we were tired at this point, but we had a minute to win it hour.
Yes.
So every morale team, who also, I didn't mention this, morale teams are super competitive because they are competing for the morale cup. And that just gives you bragging rights all year. So every hour you're competing in this game and you're trying to beat out others so you can win this cup at the end. But for a minute to win it, this one, we had like five teams who were all alternating and winning. So they're all neck and neck. And every 3 minutes, there would be a new minute to win it game. And there were one ping pong balls, you're bouncing it to hit peanut butter on a piece of bread. There were, you know, like different ones with like Skittles, trying to throw Skittles and hit it into a different cup. And I don't even know how to explain them all, but it was so fun to watch because every single person, even though they had been standing for 18 hours, was dedicated to beating everyone else. It was really fun. So this year, our programming chair, her name is Christy Henriksen, and she just planned the most perfect marathon. It went seamlessly. It really did. And every single hour was extremely engaging and fun, and exactly what each dancer needed at that time. So just the hours, you're right, Lexington, they were so like cool and fun, but they were also, there's so much work that went into them, and she just effortlessly did it. It was so perfect.
About how much time does it take for y'all to plan, and what is kind of the schedule leading up to this 24 hours where everything is really planned down to the minute?
So yesterday, we released the leadership application, so the overall chair and chair applications and coordinator applications for Dance Blue 2017. Those will close on March 9th. And then we will have overall chair interviews the week before spring break. And then when we get back from that, there will be interviews for our chairs. They will be selected. And then by March 29th, we will have almost all of our committee picked. And then, I mean, when we get the call, almost a year ago today, I got the call that I was the PR chair for 2016. And you are thrown into it. You have no idea. It's like, oh my gosh, I got it. And then you're at a meeting. So it's just, it's never ending, planning. We meet at least 5 times a week, with an advisor or with each other or with our committee or with our coordinators, or with whatever organization we want to bring in to utilize and to spread the word or awareness about a great cause, other than ours. So like I said, it's just the preparation. You have no idea how much goes into it. And what's really cool is we have some really humble leaders who you would never have any clue how much time and work went into that 51-page marathon book that plans the marathon by the minute, or all of the people that set up the stage and set up the pipe and drapes and cut out different things to put on every single seat of Memorial Coliseum to get everyone engaged and to make this marathon happen. And I think that's the beauty of it. It's so cool that there's so much work that goes into it. And then it just goes into this one 24-hour frame, you know, 365 days. And people that just bust their tails to make it happen, it doesn't really matter because it's all, like, for these kids that we love so much. And then all of the leadership just kind of graduates and fades out so that new leaders can come up and take on, you know, what we've built and built upon that and make it better. So
Allie,
it's really cool.
What's the most difficult part of putting together that 51-page book? What causes the most headaches for you?
Oh, my gosh. Well,
if you had to pick
one. So every single part of it is a headache, I'll be very honest. But I would say the biggest headache is bringing all of the different committees together. And just each hour, you have very important things that need to happen, but only 60 minutes. So in that hour, our second hour, we had 4 check presentations. 2 of them were corporate, and 2 of them were mini marathons. So that's 20 extra people on the floor. So in that, you're already coordinating what times and how long the speech will be of each one of these presentations, along with the games that are going to be happening to work toward that morale cup and to keep our dancers happy. And then the coordination of getting everyone that needs to be here and there. And, you know, then we have other things too, meal hours, feeding 1,000 people 4 times is, very epic, honestly. So it just,
and I'm thinking a lot of Gatorade waiting in the wings, I would imagine.
Oh my gosh. So much. I have never seen so much powdered Gatorade in my life, and I never will again. Holy guacamole. It was insane. And water and
yeah,
it's just
yeah.
all kinds of things, like I said, that you don't think of, but it's not even, you know, I joke, like, I'm not organized. I am very organized, but not at all compared to that marathon book in our programming chair. So it's really cool to see it all come to fruition and work out.
And you guys go over safety precautions, I would imagine, yes?
Oh, my gosh. The risk management part is all done by our advisors and our operational chair, who was Grant Palmer this year. And the scenarios that they come up with and, you know, just everything, they are ready for everything.
Yeah.
We actually had 4 years ago, I think it was 4 years ago or 5 years ago, a tornado came through in Kentucky and they had to cut the marathon in half. So it was a 12-hour marathon instead. And it was like the most stressful day, I'm sure, for those chairs. But we are ready for literally anything. And it's really cool to see, you know, when you're doing it and when you're 100 days from the marathon, you're just like, this is so stupid. Why am I doing this? I'm tired. I have homework to do and I need to eat something. And it's 3 a.m. But when you get to the marathon, it all makes sense. And it's really amazing to see how prepared, like I said, each person is and how specialized each one of us is for this marathon. It's awesome.
And is this something that's observable to the public? Can people come by and just watch you guys for a little while?
Oh, absolutely. We really, this year, our crowd attendance was up just out of the roof. We were out of seats. It was amazing. And we encourage, you know, different teams. There are 120 different teams on the floor this year, and they all had supporters come. Each dancer, you know, is spoiled. There are friends bringing coffee and food. but we just had so many amazing spectators who, you know, I said earlier, they were learning the line dance, and they were cheering, and they were there at 6 a.m. And there were a lot of people. It was really cool. At the end, when we were cleaning up, there were people that had been in the stands for 22 hours who just got there and, like, fell in love with the magic of what was happening and watching the kids come and watching the dancers dance. And they never left. So the public is always welcome, and every single year the public becomes, like, more just, like, integral in the marathon itself. So it was really cool this year to see them all come. And next year, please come to the marathon, because it'll be even better than this year.
We're talking to the effervescent Allie Williams, the public relations chair for UK Dance Blue. We'll just run through some of the, for more information kind of stuff here. Website is danceblue.org. Twitter is UK Dance Blue. Instagram, UK_DanceBlue. And like them on Facebook at Dance Blue. Allie, so you're not going to be involved next year. Is that correct? It's sort of a one-off deal.
No, I have a fifth year, so I'm very lucky.
Okay, so what are you imagining is going to be improved on or fixed from this previous year, if anything? Just off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, watching it all come together and watching it all happen, I was just so blown away by how perfect it all was. I told Lexington that like 7 times. I know it was really annoying. But it just went so well. So I have no idea what next year's chairs will do to make it better, but I can promise you that it will be 100 times better than what we did, because every year the leadership just gets better and more dedicated and more passionate. So I have no idea what will improve, because we gave it our all, but I'm so confident that it'll be even better.
Well, Allie, what are some ways that people who aren't necessarily in the UK community can donate or get involved to give back? Because this is something that doesn't just impact UK, but it really takes all of our Lexington and our Kentucky community, because people travel from counties over to attend or to get treatment at the Dance Blue Clinic.
Absolutely. So ways to get involved, if you would like to donate, go to danceblue.com, and we have a Donate Now button. Donations are obviously awesome, but one thing that I love about Dance Blue is that the number means nothing to any of us. The number is important because we are raising that money for the clinic and for those kids. But the best way to help Dance Blue is to just like offer support and love to our families, because that's like the most like tangible, wonderful thing that we can give them. To get involved, come to the marathon. We have so many community events that are on our community calendar on danceblue.org. So go click on that and check it out. From Keeneland Sea Blue Days that we table to those mini marathons to in Louisville, we go to St. Baldrick's and see them and help them out. There's just an amazing web of just really passionate organizations that we work with. So just go check that out. And your presence is the most important thing that we can request, because it just adds to our family. So, yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Allie.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yes, it was good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, this has been Interview Radio on 95.7 WLXL. I'm Lexington. I'm here with Kyle and Ben, and we are signing off for the day. Up next is Help Local with Mary Lynn Houlihan, so stay tuned for that.
That was fun. So we had Dance Blue on the, what was she, the executive?
She's the PR chair of Dance Blue.
PR chair, and when is that? Again, what day are they doing the marathon?
So the marathon was this weekend, and they raised over $1.6 million. And then we've got 365 more days till the next one, and that's 365 days to fundraise, to do charity events, to do different events throughout the year, to get ready for that. And
they're on Facebook at Dance Blue. They're on Instagram. Yes. They're on Twitter.
Twitter. And then you can go to their website, which is danceblue.org.
It was org.
Yeah. Oh, okay, good. It was org.
It's org. Yeah, she was great. We have a shorter show today for various reasons, but next week, I promise you, we'll give you the 2 full hours that your audience demands.
We'll give you your money's work. Oh, we should. Yeah, we still want to do. We want to try calling in. We want to try having some people call in while we're on the air.
That's right. So I'm going
to
plant,
just to say hi.
I'm going to put some plants out there in the audience. Probably my mom and Lexington's mom. Definitely. So we'll at least have some pretend callers. Until next week, everyone have a good one.
Bye.